We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, everybody, to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by RotoWire's free trial at RotoWire.com/try. It is Friday, April 5th, 2024. Alex Berutha here, Shannon McEwen, and Ken K. Train Kreitz.
All aboard!
Man, that's the whistle kind of messed up for some reason there. That was, I guess that's
my lung capacity is limited.
Yeah. Well, hey, everybody who's listening, this will be our final sort of normal, regular Friday podcast. We appreciate everybody who has listened. Tons of comments throughout the year. It's been a lot of fun. I recognize a lot of the names, you know, the regulars who stop by. We've really appreciated that since we've gone to a live format. It has been a lot of fun, even though all of us have old man tendencies and we're like, we don't want to go on the live stream. Get these kids off my lawn. So we're going to do a little bit of a different format today. We're still going to give you some actionable advice to start off the top. Each of us is going to hand out only two this week, waiver wire picks. And then
for now, right? Basically, it's like for daily leagues, right?
This yeah, for daily
leagues. To win your finals right now.
Yes. And then after that, we are going to review some of our sleepers and busts from before the season. We had, I think, 3 sleepers videos and 1 bust video. So we're going to grab some names from there and we're going to review, see how we did. But yeah, that'll be a little more relaxed way to end the Friday podcast. Although Ken will still have an old man rant. So stick around for that. I'm just going to kick things off, with Shannon's Pistons, Chemezi Metu. Pistons have 4 games this week. Metu, despite Jalen Duren and James Wiseman being available, continues to play minutes. He's playing some with the power forward. Let's call it a respectable 9 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists with 2.5 stocks, in 26 minutes over the past 8 games. He's 5% rostered. Like, so if you're in a deep league, if you're in any league, he's available.
Metu's kind of like a silly season veteran. Didn't he do this last year? Was it for Phoenix or what was down the end?
Sacramento. He had some good spot starts for Sacramento.
That's right. It's Phoenix early this year. Right. Yeah.
He's always kind of been in the mix. It was actually 2021 I'm looking at now. He was in 2021. He played a lot. 21 minutes a game. Anyway, Metu's been there, done that before. He can rack up numbers in April, as Shannon has seen with his very own eyes. Ken, let's just keep it rolling.
I'm going to the mess that is Portland. We all know about Delano Banton, who's probably the silly season MVP this year. But I'm bringing up a name we've mentioned before, power forward 21-year-old Jabari Walker of your Portland Trailblazers. He's only 15% rostered on Yahoo, 2% on ESPN. The 21-year-old has started the last 3 games. He just had 2 huge games for the depleted Trailblazers. He's averaged 41 minutes. And that's what you want to see during silly season is just a ton of minutes, a ton of opportunity. In those 2 games, he's averaged 16 points, 15.5 rebounds, and 1.5 triples. Shoots okay from the line. This additional chucking is not helping his field goal percentage. Portland has a game tonight, Friday, and a game Sunday. So 2 games. This is your finals week. Jabari Walker, my silly season last second player swap.
I like it. He's been a favorite of mine on in DFS lineups whenever he gets spot starts. Another favorite of mine this year, we've talked about numerous times. My first suggestion, Taylor Hendricks, forward for the Utah Jazz, 17% rostered. He's been a top 90 player over the past week. He's been locked in as the starter, starting power forward since late February. But his production is really starting to pick up of late. He's averaging 13 points, 5.8 rebounds, 3 three-pointers per game, and 1.8 stocks in 31 minutes per over the past four games. Markkanen is basically ruled out for the season. John Collins has been ruled out for Friday. Clarkson, Kessler, both nursing what seem to be minor injuries. But
they got Yurtseven starting tonight.
There you go. There you go. So there should be plenty of minutes and more looks at more looks than usual for Hendricks for the last handful of games. So I like him quite a bit as a free agent pickup.
The Jazz, well, first of all, I agree with everything you say, but the Jazz on March 30th saying that Lauri Markkanen will be reevaluated in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Do you think we're stupid? I mean, seriously, are we dumb? The season ends on the 14th. Oh, my God, man.
They really, really, really want to make sure they don't give that pick away. Who gets their pick on the wild chance? They've already locked it in, but it was like a not, if they didn't hit the worst 10, it was top 10 protected or something.
Yes. It goes
was a lottery
to
protected. Somebody was getting their pick. Like, everyone knew they'd be tanking.
Outgoing OKC?
OKC.
Wait.
Yeah. Yeah, that's from the old power forward center that used to be a Jazz.
It's Derek Favors' salary
Derek
dump.
Derek Favors, thank you. Yes, yes, yes.
What good a legend. Sam Presti. Sam Presti, you are the man. Okay. My second suggestion, Dyson Daniels of the New Orleans Pelicans. Coming off a long absence, but he's back over the past three games. He's got two steals in each game. I think he only played 11 minutes in the first one. But the past two games have been great for him. A total of 25 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, and 4 steals in 46 minutes. Pelicans have 4 games this week. Brandon Ingram is still out with the hope that he can be back before the end of the regular season. But until that happens, Daniels is he's going to keep playing more minutes.
Yeah, over 21 minutes each of the last two games. I'm gonna go with a repeat. Miles McBride, granted, he is rostered in 55% of Yahoo, but only 25% on ESPN. Look, we know Tibbs loves to play guys. Once they crack the rotation, they stay there for about 60 minutes a game. That has happened to McBride. He has started the last 9 games for the Knicks and averaged, get this, over 9 games. This is high by Thibodeau standards. 45 minutes a game. I know there's some overtime in there, but he's averaging 45 minutes a game for the Knicks. 19 points, over 3 assists, 1.5 stocks, shooting almost 50% from the field and 90% from the stripe. If you need buckets, if you need percentages, he's hitting almost 4 threes a game. Make sure Miles McBride is checked to see if he's available on your waiver wire.
Yeah, I still go back every time McBride's brought up. I go back to a listener or user watcher question, a viewer question, Grimes or McBride for the Knicks that we had earlier this year. You know, Pistons legend Quentin Grimes, who made all of 6 appearances since being traded to Detroit and is shut down for the season. My second waiver wire pickup, we're going to get sassy with it. It's the last of the year, so I'm going with the Detroit Piston. Marcus Sasser, 3% rostered on Yahoo. Cade Cunningham's already been ruled out for Friday's game against the Grizzlies. Sasser's the guy who usually gets those spot starts. In 5 spot starts this year, Sasser's averaging 10.6 points, 4.8 dimes, 1 steal, and 1.2 three-pointers in over 31 minutes per game. Another option that you can look at in Detroit with Cade out would be Malachi Flynn, who I'm sure Alex or Nick or someone talked about in a recent episode. He just dropped one of the most unlikely 50 pieces ever in NBA history, just dominating against DeJounte Murray's defense. I think Flynn is actually going to be a stream. He's been a regular off the bench. He's topped 30 minutes a couple of times. I think three out of the past seven games. He's not going to put another 50 piece on anyone, but he could be a sneaky stream in daily leagues if the Pistons are shorthanded.
Yeah, I did want to mention Malachi Flynn, but I'm like, do I really think, you know, is he really a pickup?
Yeah, it's tough. I do recommend for tonight. Like, I think Sasser is going to be the guy. Yeah. If I was doing a DFS lineup, I'd go with Sasser. I think Flynn will be more rostered and maybe more of a popular pickup based on the most recent game. But Sasser's probably going to get the spot start again. You know, flip it and reverse it if Monty does something crazy and starts Flynn, though.
Okay. Sasser not shy about shooting, right, Shannon? I mean, he's going to.
Not at all. And he's actually been pretty broke lately. He's going to probably have a game where his threes are actually falling. He's only shooting like 25% in spot starts from downtown. If he has a game where he's actually hitting, he can pop off for 25, 30 points.
All right. Well, gentlemen, before we review our sleepers, let's get into some fan feedback. We do have some fabulous regular fans posting some questions. We're going to start with Matt. I'll show his question here. Who do you like best for head-to-head ESPN points league, Strus, Oubre, or Rui Hachimura? I will throw in there, depending on if it's daily moves leagues, just check your game schedule and what days you need games so you have as many players playing as many nights as possible. So one player may be better, but if it's on a night where you've only got 10 spots and 12 active players, who cares? If you need the next day, you only got five active players, get a sixth. But anyway, back to Matt's question, Strus, Oubre, or Hachimura?
I think I would go Hachimura, but I can understand wanting Oubre as well. It's just with Embiid back, Maxey's also playing.
Yeah.
His shots could go down a little bit. And Hachimura's got like double-double upside and has just been playing really well.
I'm going to go with Oubre. I like him a little bit more for points-based leagues. Oubre, one of Oubre's bigger dings is the fact that his field goal percentage can be a risk. That's obviously out the window in a points-based league. And Oubre's he's pretty much been locked in the starting lineup. It's encouraging that he started last night's game against Miami, even with Embiid and Maxey both playing. I believe they both played, right? Let me double-check
that. Yep, they did. Yep. They did indeed.
So, both those guys playing, and Oubre remained in the starting lineup. He played 41 minutes. He still got his points. He had 18 and 8. I like Oubre for points-based leagues.
It's really Buddy Hield who's taking the back seat with those two coming back. All right, from Christian, good morning, fellas. I have one move left to make for a pickup in my championships. Thoughts on Memphis guard Jordan Goodwin?
I like him as a pickup. I'm pretty sure... It's going to be hard for me to double check this.
Well, we've got him in our starting lineup tonight on the lineups page.
Well, he's on a two-way contract, and that's been the reason for his up and down. But the G League season's over for a lot of teams.
But there's also that whole game count thing, right? They got to keep him under the game count. I know they were doing that with Scottie Pippen Jr. too.
Okay, I think once the G League season is over, they're just good to go.
Okay,
like they can just play. And the G League season ended for a lot of teams, so I'll try to double check that quickly. But I like Jordan Goodwin, assuming he is going to play, and by all accounts, we believe he's available tonight. And
to your point about going to play, going to not play, five DNPs in the last nine games. I don't know what that's based on. It certainly hasn't been much injury stuff. I thought it was silly. Yeah, G League stuff, two-way contract stuff. When he plays, pretty awesome.
Yeah, over the past three games, he's played three games in a row, 27 minutes per 11 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists. I like him as a pickup, but like Alex and Ken alluded to, you have to double check his availability and make sure he's able to play.
All right, let's go to Michael. He just used his last waiver move to and replaced Amen Thompson with Alex Caruso, the Bulls. Thoughts?
Yeah, if that's what you need, if you need what Caruso is giving you compared to Thompson, I mean, Thompson he rolled his ankle yesterday, so who knows there. And his offense has kind of taken a small downturn. So I think it's a fine move to make.
That, you know, it all depends on who's playing what nights and how do you maximize your games play? Because those guys are pretty equal stats wise. I'm not sure it matters one way or the other.
I think it's a good swap. It's a good swap because, I mean, one, what happened with Thompson's offense production, it really aligned with Cam Whitmore coming back as well. Because Cam Whitmore's been in the rotation again for three games. Thompson's remained in the starting lineup, but Whitmore's playing 20 plus minutes off the bench. He was 6 for 14 last night with 17 points. And the ankle injury, of course, you know, for Thompson. He played 30 minutes last night, but he had to leave the game early with that ankle injury. I do worry about his availability for the next game or two.
Well, and the Rockets are kind of out of it now that they lost to the Warriors, right? So I'm not sure they'll push them. Let's get some nice words from Matt Carmody, loyal fan of the show. Thanks, guys. Your advice has been a big help all season. Helped to get all four of my teams into the finals. Lost one in week 21, but have a good chance with the other three. All right. Thank you, Matt. And then let's see. From Kenny. Thanks for all the advice in the past. For the Saturday-Sunday play, would you play Strus, Rui, Lowry, or Cameron Payne? We are kind of talking about Strus and Rui already. I know you prefer Hachimura. How do you like Kyle Lowry, Lowry with no E, or Payne relative to Rui?
I don't like either of those guys more than Rui. So I would go Strus or Rui there.
Also, throw in, you never know when the Lakers are going to give Davis or LeBron a big rest night if they're locked into the play-in or not, and then Rui's going to get monster minutes, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like Rui. Give me Rui there.
All right. This from Admiral Julian Champagne versus New Orleans. Brian Sensabaugh, rookie, versus the Clippers. Wiggins or Wallace versus Indy. I think that's the highest over-under of the night, that OKC Indy game. Or Sasser at Memphis.
I'm getting Sasser.
Yeah, let's go with Sasser.
I think Sasser's the big upside, right? Pistons, how many healthy bodies the Pistons even have for that game? I mean, they're starting Troy Brown, for goodness sakes.
It's been fun.
All right. Let's see. We got more thanks, but those are from guys we already replied. I think that's it for fan feedback.
All right. Now we go to the fun section of the show where we talk about how amazing we did before the season with our sleepers and bus, or how terrible we did. So yeah, we have a few videos where we did this. We just ripped the names off of a few of them. I did not rewatch all of them to see all of our in-depth arguments, but I'm going to assume we can just unlock that part of our brain that had an argument and just we'll just go from there.
Can't remember my neighbor's names, but I do remember some of that sleeper logic.
Yes. we'll start with the sleepers and then we'll go to bus. So we each have, I think, three. So my first one was Desmond Bane, who ended up having a cumulative ADP of 39. But I do remember when I saw the video very quickly that I mentioned him in, his underdog ADP was like 52 when I had mentioned him, which was kind of ridiculous. You know, sleeper, if you think someone's a sleeper that high in a draft, you know, that there's an argument there. But
Bane was awesome when he was balling out because Grant wasn't in there. You know, tragic, that ankle injury. You know, I was all in on Bane. I'm like, I'm not getting these old farts that are going to get hurt. Bane's young.
Ankle injury. 40. When Bane played, he ranked 29th in eight cat. So
it was a great run. It was a great run.
It was a great one. A run. Who is your first sleeper?
Old man Mike Conley, ADP of 131, wound up with an eight category per game value of 86. And actually his totals were really good too, because he only missed six games despite being 36 years old. He played 29 minutes a game. He had six assists a game. He shot an elite 90% from the free throw line and hit 2.13 triples per game. My logic here was they had no decent backup point guard. They were all in on Conley. He was not only going to start, but see a ton of minutes. You know, they added Monte Morris late at the trade deadline, but this team just didn't have a true point guard. Conley was a steady Eddie veteran that, not sexy, but a great end of draft pick, because you always need assists.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Yeah. Who's your guy, Shannon?
Do I have to do this? All right.
We all did this.
All Alex, right, not doing you any favors with your first name.
Talon Horton Tucker, THT, who was the starting point guard for the Utah Jazz at the beginning of the season. Oh, yeah, I know.
It was. So briefly.
It's hard to remember back that far. But he started the first 8 or 9 games for Utah. And over that stretch, you know, he averaged 10 points, 5.6 assists. He also shot 38% from the floor, 32% from downtown, 71% from the free throw line. So obviously it was a points-based recommendation, but he has been an absolute stinker this season. Keontae George, Colin Sexton, much better names to roster from that backcourt. His ADP, THT's ADP was 150. His 8 cat per game ranking was 200. In 22.
That's the thing.
I sadly watched a lot of those point guard games. This was his go-to play early in the season. He would barrel in a confused manner towards the basket. He would fall down on his bottom and the ball would mysteriously go out of bounds. And then he would get mad at the ref for his incompetent drive.
I understand why I like him as a player so much. Right. He mirrors my game. So.
All right. But yeah, I mean, an ADP of 150, given what we had saw from him in the preseason and the indications that he could start at point guard, how are you not going to draft him if he was there? You know,
that is the classic end of draft flyer that may have worked out. As we said, you always need assists. You always need assists. Late assists are huge.
They are. My second sleeper, I can't quit him. Reed.
He's your sleeper every year. You should just buy a Naz Reed stamp. Bump, bump.
His ADP was 149, despite the fact that he played 18 minutes a game the season before and was 167th in 8-cat. And it's like, well, if he even sees a little more time here or there when Karl Anthony Towns gets hurt, then it's a win. And for a lot of the season, you know, Reed didn't necessarily have to be rostered in 12-team leagues. He was more of a streamer. But if you had him in a 16-team league or a 14-team league and managed to hang on, now's your payoff. Right, averaging like 18 and 6 with we know what Naz Reed can do when he starts. So, I just felt like he was not being price enforced the way he should have been in deeper leagues. I'm gonna give you a runway, Ken.
The smartest thing I did this fantasy basketball season: be all in on Boston Celtic Derek White. Had an unbelievable ADP of 100, and I get it. They had 4 stars in their starting lineup, and Derek White. But he is ending the season in 8 category total stats. He's ranked 16th on the RotoWire Raider. This is his first season of 30-plus minutes a game. He's playing 33 minutes a game. His first season with over 5 assists a game. He is really Boston's point guard, not Drew Holiday. So many times on offense, they put Holiday in the corner. Holiday's really become a 3-and-D guy for them. He's having the best 3-point shooting of his career, Holiday, because they're playing to his strengths. He's not gunning from the top of the key. He's hitting from the corner, and they're letting Derek White run the offense. He was coming off an 82-game season last year. He's only missed 6 games this year. Some of that was the birth of a child. Kids. But anyway, D. White, also the shaved hair, clearly more aerodynamic, more dad-looking. It all came together for D. White. Mwah. Love him.
I'm most amazed by the fact my worry with D. White was just he's going to be the clear number 5 option. Mm-hmm. But the way the Boston Celtics manage their rotation, manage the availability of all their players to try to, I'm assuming, keep them healthy for a lengthy playoff run, really helped and elevate White's ranking.
And he is a higher priority than Holiday on the offense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So I think
really the third option.
I think they realized Holiday was kind of miscast as a true point guard in Milwaukee. Like, Holiday really is more of like an off guard who was sort of forced to play point guard. And to your point, Ken, I mean, we all kind of know this in the back of our heads. Holiday's averaging 12 points a game this year. Yeah. Like, he just does not really score that much.
And you know what? No one in Boston's complaining about it. They're just like, play great defense. When Holiday starts manning up the other team's power forward on the block on defense, Boston fans, we go nuts. We love it. Our point guard's balling out, you know, is an immovable object, like a younger Kyle Lowry on the block for their bigs. We were putting him on Randall. When Randall was healthy for the Knicks, we'd have Holiday guard him. We didn't care if he scored 10 points that game. We just love the fact that it was banging Randall all game. Yeah.
Holiday is the biggest 6'4", 205 I've ever seen.
Yes.
He's a better version of Marcus Smart.
You know what?
It's true.
Except for emotionally, you're right. No one in Boston's complaining about these trades. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that much. But we still love you, Marcus.
All right, let's keep it moving, Shannon. This is going to be a 2-hour podcast. This
Yeah, my second sleeper was Jalen Suggs, guard for the Orlando Magic, ADP of 155, 8 cap per game ranking of 97. The biggest question, I mean, one, it was great. Suggs was basically locked into the starting lineup all year, which obviously helped his overall value. One of his question marks through his first 2 years in the NBA was his efficiency. You know, was he going to be efficient enough to be a fantasy asset? And that turned out to be the case this year. He shot 46.5% from the floor, 40% from downtown, 75% from the free throw line. That would be nice if that would improve. But he's given you enough threes, enough steals to really be an impact fantasy player. 2.1 three-pointers per game, 1.4 steals. Suggs is one of my late-round darts that actually worked out this year.
Yeah, you know, Markelle Fultz missed a lot of the season. Anthony Black, just not ready, really.
Really.
For the minutes, that helped. But I think Suggs, it wasn't just that those guys not being ready or being out fueled Suggs to the Suggs improved dramatically as a player. So that was a great call out.
You know, they tried to have Black run away with that gig and he did not.
He kind of confuses me as a prospect, but
very good, perimeter defensive player at a very young age, which is hard to do. If his offense, if he figures it out, I still like Anthony Black's long-term upside.
Well, and frankly, it's Suggs' defense that has kept him along with his offensive struggles. Mm-hmm. And you were betting on some draft pedigree there too, Shannon, which made sense.
Of course.
Alex, take us to Washington for your sleeper that panned out.
My man, Denny Avdia. You know, I mean, the first few months of the season, I would say he had kind of done what he had been doing, right? It was 10, 6, and 3, just very normal numbers. But then your Washington Bullets kicked in. There's a sample that goes from January. I mean, you know, if you want to take it shorter, longer, whatever. But since the new year, Avdija is averaging 17 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists for 33 fantasy points a game, which is pretty good. And the bet, you know, the bet was just like, this team isn't very good. they drafted him. I think it was ninth. Yeah, they drafted him ninth. Still really young. I think they want to give him a shot. And yeah, that worked out.
I also had a misguided thought that they might deal Kuzma at the deadline.
Well, that
which they did.
They should have. I mean, they probably should have dealt Avdija. To be, I mean, they should deal this whole team. I mean,
Avdija's young; he's still on a rookie deal. He could be a piece. That, you know, I don't think anyone. I don't know if they were getting many phone calls for Avdija, frankly. But
I don't know.
You could make a case to trade anyone on the Wizards.
Very true. Ken, let's go to your next sleeper.
I went to Milwaukee, your backyard, gentlemen, and went with old man Brook Lopez, who shamefully had an ADP. Of 92, despite center scarcity, he wind up with 9 category total stats value ranking of 26. Despite being 36 years old, Lopez has only missed 3 games this season and is getting the much desired 2.4 blocks a game while also hitting almost 2 3 pointers a game. Elite percentages. Look, I get it. Lopez doesn't rebound. But honestly, it's a lot easier to get rebounds off the waiver wire than it is to get blocks. Lopez's game is not based on athleticism. He stands near the rim. He blocks shots. Probably can do that till he's 47. You know, he catches the ball and he shoots the ball from 3. It's not, you know, he doesn't need to be in the greatest shape of his life. It's okay that he's old. I hope his ADP is low again next year. Brook Lopez. Don't care for his... those Allstate or those insurance ads he's doing. I don't find those very funny, but otherwise an excellent fantasy play.
Yeah. I think people hate that. You look at his box scores and you're like, really? 7 points, 4 rebounds from Brook Lopez, you know,
yeah. 3 blocks, 2, you know, a steal, great percentages.
Comes out the non.
Yeah.
Shannon, let's give you a sort of a victory parade here on this one.
Yeah, another successful sleeper, Cam Thomas for the Nets. Yeah, Thomas, his ADP was in the 150 range, and his 8 cap per game value for the season was 115. He was much better in points-based leagues. He averaged 22 points per game while hitting 2.1 three-pointers. His production only went up the latter half of the season as Ben Simmons and other players kind of fell out of the rotation or were out for the rest of the year for the Nets. And Cam Thomas has basically been locked in as a starting shooting guard for Brooklyn. It's absolutely bonkers to me that he is the leading scorer on the team. He outscored Mikal Bridges, who was a darling at draft time, you know, a routine top 30 pick. Bridges averaged 20.3 points per game this year. If there's one thing Cam Thomas does, it's score buckets. He could be a little bit more efficient from the field, but he didn't kill you there. I mean, 44.5% doesn't kill you. So solid overall player and a good fantasy value this season.
He also started to chip in other stats at the like back third of the year. I think he got the message that if he wants to keep playing, he needs to do more than just gun. It'd be interesting to see what this Nets starting five is like next year, because they didn't make any progress with this young core this year.
But yeah, you're right. I think in February, if you take his February numbers onward, I haven't done this for both players, I think he's averaging more points and assists than Mikal Bridges. And maybe even more rebounds.
His dimes went up. His other stat production. The new coaching staff got in his ear, and he started to do more than just shoot. Okay, you want some super weird news before we go on to busts?
Yes.
My phone is blowing up here. You probably saw me cheating at it. We just experienced an earthquake here in Vermont, which has never ever happened to my knowledge. Minor earthquake. It was a lot worse near where my kids work. But I didn't feel anything. Probably I'm too fat or just assumed it was gas.
I was going to say you were too drunk. So you were like,
earthquake. We also got 6 inches of snow yesterday. What the hell's going on? It's spring. It's April.
We also got news. Maybe this was the earthquake. Bronny James has declared for the 2024 NBA draft. Also entered the transfer portal. I assume he... it's probably more likely he transfers than gets drafted. But that's happening. All right. Are you guys ready to move on to our busts that we had this season? I'm just going to assume yes, because we're doing it. A lot of these, at least on my end, were based on like injuries, and the guys like didn't get hurt. So
yeah.
And that happens sometimes. I will say my first one, Kristaps Porzingis, it was part injury, part what is really going on in Boston in terms of like who is going to run the show, what's everybody's touch is going to look like. His ADP was 43. This year's 8-cat total is 47. At least when I looked at it, now I'm seeing 56, but that could just be other guys, you know, Malachi Flynn stepping up. But yeah, Porzingis, you know, still 20 points a game, was great on defense, you know, 1.9 blocks a game, and really efficient, you know, a lot more rim running, bullying smaller players, getting efficient shots. Yep. And I really wasn't counting on Drew Holiday if you would have told me Drew Holiday was going to average 12 points a game, yep, I would have said, okay, those shots are probably going to Porzingis. So I was wrong about that. And he also stayed relatively healthy. He's played 54 games. So depends on what you think.
I mean, when they made that deal for Porzingis, they said right away, we need more of a presence on the block. And everyone here was like, isn't he kind of soft? Is he really going to? But he did right. Post guys up. You're like, his post up is more like, I'm 7 inches taller than you, so I'm just going to do a turn jumper and just shoot over the top, but from 4 or 5 feet out and hit this. You know, fantasy-wise, he's great if you're in a daily league and you have the time every day to see if he's playing or not. And if you're not in a daily league, oh, it can be so – you're in a week's – setting your lineup of Porzingis every week can be maddening.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing how many games he's going to play.
All right, Ken, who was your first bust?
My first bust and my top really best bust, I was not keen on Josh Giddey coming into this season. He had an ADP of 56, and right now, 8 categories total stats, he's at 87. So I'm going to pat myself on the back for that one. Mostly my thinking was, one, Chet Holmgren. Two, Jalen Williams continuing to improve his game. I expected a nice sophomore breakout season from Williams. And three, I just don't think Giddey's an ideal fit with SGA. I think they need more of a true catch-and-shoot shooting guard. Giddey's more of a pound-the-rock, needs to drive to the basket, does not draw a lot of fouls when he does drive to the basket, which is also a problem. Not great percentages. I think with his huge Trevor Trove of picks, Giddey's scenario is going to just continue to get worse. Also, I thought his stats were padded a lot in prior seasons when SGA was out and Giddey was like the option in the backcourt. All of that combined for me picking Giddey as a bust pick.
Yeah, and there were some down points for Giddey in the middle of the season. Like December through February, he was seeing 24 minutes a game.
He was the first starter out often. Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if he's kind of the odd man out in their future and they traded him. Try to get some guys who fit better.
Yeah, maybe Shannon. Maybe some of the off the court stuff will have to do with that. We'll see.
That I did not predict.
Jalen Green for the Rockets, ADP of 81. I'm going to call this win. His total ranking looks solid. Total for the season, he's in that 70 range. But if you look at his per game production and per game rankings, and specifically from the rotisserie side, he hasn't been that valuable. He's about 139 on a per game level for 8 category rotisserie. Averages look okay, 20 points, 5.1 rebounds, 3.5 assists. But some of his flaws are still there. He hit 42.6% from the field, 33.5% from downtown on the season. There have been enough flashes though, and he's had a couple of really big stretches, including one that just really wrapped recently. From March 14th to March 29th, for instance, he averaged 33.8 points, 7.8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.4 steals in 38 minutes per game. He was hitting threes at a much higher clip during that stretch, 5.3 three-pointers made per game and 48% shooting. Essentially, he had a couple like two-week hot stretches, But overall, his stats took a dip. I mean, from last year, he averaged 22.1 points per game for the Rockets in his sophomore season, and that dipped to currently under 20 points per game. So I consider that a win. I'm optimistic that Green can hit another level after his couple hot streaks that we saw this year. But there's still too much inconsistency and inefficiency for me to maybe draft him above ADP next year.
He was a good bus call till about February or late February. And then
March,
March. Streaky. I wonder how many people sold low on him, even cut him in 10 category or 10 teamers. And then he just explodes. I don't know how you predict him. Just somehow everything clicks in March of all times. That was crazy.
You don't. I mean, in December, he averaged 15 points a game on 37% shooting for a month. So, yeah, I think that's fine to give yourself a win there, Shannon. My next bust pick, Anthony Davis, because I was like, this man's going to get hurt. You can't draft him 13th, which is where he was going. Turns out, he didn't get hurt, and he's the third best player in fantasy total value.
And, you know, you can put old man LeBron right there, too. You assume both of them are going to miss big chunks of the season. They didn't. People drafted them cheap, and they're in the finals now.
AD has played 72 games. He's going to reach 75 games this year. Unbelievable.
That'd be a career high.
It would match a career high, 75 games. Yes, which he has not done since 2017-18. He stayed healthy. He's been amazing. It's not just that he stayed healthy, right? He's been awesome. He's ranked 5th in fantasy per game as well. The only thing is, I'm going to say that if I employed this strategy each of the past 8 years, it would have paid off more than it wouldn't have. So next year, I will also be calling him a bust.
They also got nothing.
Games.
They got nothing out of Christian Wood too. Even when Wood was healthy, and then he got out for the year. But they got all right. I also went with a big name bust. I remember the time I was just arguing with people that thought he was a number one or two pick. But Luka Doncic, his ADP of 3 when I called him a bust, and in 8 category totals, he's at 4.
I watched your argument on this because I'm like, Ken thought Luka was going to be a bust. You were talking about 9 cat. Because you're like, his turnovers are too high.
Yeah. I will, to his credit, he did improve his free throw percentage from a bad 74% to a more tolerable 78%. I did not expect that because his 3 prior years were 74% or worse. So he shot a career high 78% from the line. And he still managed to shoot 49% from the field on very high volume. That's fantastic. But you're right. It was all a 9 category argument. And his turnovers did go up from 3.6 a game last year to 4 turnovers a game this year. Thank you for rewatching my argument. It's coming back to me. Yes, it was all about 9 category. Great points league. And he's on my FSGA finals team. That is a points league. So hopefully Luka gets me that championship ring they hand out at the FSGA. Come on, baby.
My next bust was Paolo Banchero for the Orlando Magic. Similar to Jalen Green, Banchero was fine in points-based leagues. Very solid. Saw nice growth in his sophomore season. But in rotisserie leagues, not that great. I mean, really was about depending on the ranking system for totals in the 100 range. If you go to per game, he's in that 70 range. I've seen him as low as 150 for rotisserie rankings for 9 category leagues. Banchero, it was a top 50 pick. I mean, and oftentimes he would go above his ADP because people were expecting that sophomore breakout. But 22.5 points, 6.8 rebounds, 5.3 assists. He jumped up from 3.7 to 5.3 assists. He's kind of that prime playmaking Blake Griffin. That 1.5, 2 years where Blake Griffin was doing that. That's what Banchero reminds me of this year. But the the inefficiency is really what dragged him down. 71.3% from the free throw line. Yeah, it's tough to get over that. If he really is going to be an elite fantasy option, mm-hmm. he needs to get that up to like 80 and actually do something on defense as well. decent on defense, but 1.5 stocks. He needs more than that. So solid growth as a player. I still love his upside long-term, but he has some holes as a fantasy player.
Better points league guy than rotisserie guy, yeah. for sure.
Yeah, and his shooting is still really up and down. Like, you look at the percentages across the whole year, like field goal percentage, three-point percentage. You know, he mentioned his free throw percentage is down. But if you go, like, the month-by-month splits, it's just really, like, in December, 28% from three. 2 months later, 38% from three. You know, free throw percentage. He shot 78% from the free throw line in March, 69% in January. Like, he still is really inconsistent. His shot's kind of weird. It's a lot of wrist. Like, you're watching him. He's like, he pulls up and he just flicks it. It was almost like a two-hand flick shot with his wrist. Kind of bizarre. I don't know what his upside is there. But, yeah, I think he's definitely a better points league player than category league player, which is important to know when you are drafting and looking at ADPs.
Alex, take us to the flat earth.
Kyrie Irving. You know, I was thinking on Monday I'm going to see the eclipse, and I was wondering, is Kyrie Irving going to be there, or is he going to like denounce it? I really don't know. Like, what is his take on the solar eclipse? I would love to know. But yeah, Kyrie, my argument was, look, there's the off the court stuff. Maybe that results in absences. Maybe it doesn't, but he had not been a healthy player his entire career before that. Mm-hmm. He's an injury prone player who had played 70 games twice in his career, three times, basically like Anthony Davis level health. I was like, you do not draft this guy 26th because he will not play 65 games for you. He's played 54 games right now. He is 36th in 8-cat total. So if you drafted him at 25, it's not the reason you lost your league. Let's put it that way. He's been fine. And he's had a really good year. Like, super low turnovers, his usual 25 points, 5 assists, good efficiency. I mean, great efficiency, I should say. Not good. He's 50-40-90 right now. But it's just something where I don't think he's almost ever going to get you your value on 25 for ADP just because of the injury absences and the fact he's 32 now.
Yeah. A lot of name value.
Yeah. Here's one interesting stat for Kyrie, a career low 1.8 turnovers per game, mm-hmm. while still averaging over 5 assists. I think that's nice to see playing alongside Luka.
Well, that's all Luka, right? That's just Luka being the real point guard, and he's not mm-hmm. handling the ball nearly as much. All right, I had a bust pick that did not pan out. Really same logic as Anthony Davis. I was shying off of Kevin Durant, which wound up being the demise of our NFBKC team, Shannon, I know. Durant had an ADP of 13, and he exceeded that. In fact, 8-category total, he ranked 6th because he played 69 games, which is a 4-year high for Kevin Durant. He was coming up, the 35-year-old, was coming off a 35, then 55, then 47-game season. I did not expect anything north of 65 games for Durant, and I was wrong. Another example of how this was the weird year that all the got-to-get-hurt guys did not get hurt.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how that's going to affect ADPs next year. If people are going to be like, well, the 65-game rule worked, and these guys are never going to get hurt now. Like, that's not really – I don't think that's really what happened.
I don't think Durant cares about his trophy case. I think he was just unusually healthy this year and wanted to keep playing. Plus, they desperately needed him with Beal's health. And wasn't Booker out for
some time? Booker missed some time, too, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Shannon, it's time. You got to put a bow on this thing.
All right. The worst bust call of all, Victor Wembanyama. Wemby was an ADP of 20 during draft season. At the time, I don't think I'd ever recall seeing a rookie being drafted in the top 20 or maybe LeBron James, but it's very, very rare that you see a rookie being drafted in one of the first two rounds. That was the case with Wemby. And not only was he well worth that late second round pick, he would have been worth a top 5 pick because on total production, Wemby was the 5th overall player in 8-category leagues, and per game production, he was the 6th overall player. The per game production doesn't surprise me too much that he's top 10. It surprises preseason me, absolutely. But the fact that he was able to play enough games, he's played 67 games so far, and have a top five total production in his rookie season is just bonkers. I did not believe that he was going to be, you know, looking at his stats from overseas, the block totals weren't that impressive. They were well below what most sites were projecting for him in the block category. I thought the percentages could be an issue, but Wemby's been fantastic. And you know, it's very, very easily could be the number one pick in fantasy next year.
I agree. As far as next year, very easily would be the number one pick. I was with you though, Shannon. I looked at that slight frame and thought some teams are going to bully him. I thought the Spurs are going to be terrible even with Wemby. So they're going to rest him a lot. Popovich always happy to give guys a rest when the games don't matter. And yet we saw these great quotes most of the season from Wemby about, I want to keep playing. I care about our win total now. I'm not tanking. I was through an interpreter. Maybe the interpreter's smart. I don't know. Just said the right things. But, maybe it wasn't through the interpreter, actually. I don't know. But anyway, the game count was awesome, and I thought it would be terrible, too.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, through the first October through February, he played 28 minutes a game. And if you had told most people, actually, most people thought he was only going to play 20 minutes a game or 28 minutes a game, you know, and they'd be like, well, how good can he really be? Yeah. I mean, everybody who drafted him in that 15 to 25 range.
Well, you know, while we're at it, how about Chet Holmgren not missing a game all year? My goodness, if there were two bodies that look like they would get hurt. Those guys look like they're made out of balsa wood, and yet great game counts from both of them. Kudos to Holmgren for not missing a game. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ken, it is time for your last old man rant of the season.
Ark! Gary Trent, who's played in just 66 games this season for the Raptors, he's young, and yet he sat out Tuesday for rest purposes. What? Did you know that John Stockton, Hall of Fame point guard for the Utah Jazz, had 16 seasons where he played the max 82 games plus a lot of playoff runs? That includes his last four seasons when he was age 37 to age 40. In fact, when he was 40 years old in his last season, he played in all 82 games and averaged 28 minutes per game. Michael Jordan, the GOAT, played in all 82 games his last season as a 39-year-old with the Washington Wizards. He played 37 minutes a game that year. But 25-year-old Gary Trent needs a rest. Damn you, silly season! Play ball! Argh.
Hey, you put Gary Trent in the same conversation as John Stockton. So, finally, he gets us. Yes. No, I think I've actually heard my dad do that exact rant probably every year that I've been alive. So yes, that is,
thank you for
capping off the podcast with that. Okay, everybody, that's it. Thank you everybody for joining us on the whole ride of the Friday Fantasy Basketball Podcast. It's occasionally, we might do a pop in, it's possible, but enjoy the rest of the regular season, whatever it is, enjoy the playoffs, the real playoffs. I hope we get a great NBA finals. I'm sure we will. That'll wrap it up for us.
Yeah, if you're in your finals, and presumably if you're still watching this, you are, good luck. And hey, attention passengers, this three-car fantasy train wreck has hit the end of this season's line.
Better. That was much better.